Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shift and Steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, I just wanted to say one thing before we get started. Welcome to the party, pal.
Oh,
but that's the Arizona version, because I'm in Arizona right now. As you can see, well, you can't see, but as you can hear, it sounds like Arizona, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah, yeah. And you can hear how old that furniture is because it's going,
the weight of my body. So,
all right. So, Brad, you're in Arizona. It's got to be 114 degrees out there. So
pretty close. Well, let me tell you, I got to the house last night, and one of my main reasons to come over, this wasn't like, oh, hey, I'm going to go over and do all this fun stuff. It was, I was sitting at home and I went, oh crap. The news just said it was 114 degrees over here. I need to get over there and turn on the air conditioning so everything in the house doesn't melt. That's one of the things over here you forget about. And I got over here and no kidding, candles are like bent over like that.
Whoa.
There were picture frames that were on the wall that were those kind that you pull, you know, they had melted and run down the wall.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
It was 100 degrees in the house when I got it. And let me tell you guys, it was raining out. So it was hot and humid. And it took till about 4:30 in the morning for the house to cool down with the air conditioner on. And it was pretty miserable sleeping last night. So
it is funny to think, like, in California, we talk about the weather being nice all the time. But those of you in the Midwest and certainly up north, you've got the cold weather, but you don't think about, oh, we've got to go to Arizona and turn on the air. So things in the house don't melt.
Yes.
Right.
All the hard candy is now in a puddle. All the crayons you have to put in plastic baggies.
That's right.
Well, you know, I've got my OBS Tahoe in the garage over here. You think it's 100 degrees in the house. Now, that garage is insulated and has a nice garage door and everything, but I'll bet you it gets 130 in there. So, you know, what's the worst thing for a car? To sit idle. What's even worse, for it to sit idle in 130 degrees.
So you don't
honestly,
have...
I would just put a fan. I would just put like a $30 fan and just run it all summer. Just plug it into the wall. At least get some air moving around, right? Like in the summer out there, like we would just turn on a fan and like you don't turn it off until November.
Yeah, Matt, have you ever heard of a convection oven?
Actually, did is I put a new garage door opener on, and I can run it off my phone from wherever I'm at.
There you
it
go.
Does things. If somebody opens my garage door, I get an alert, and it tells me somebody opened my garage door. But I can also open the garage door, kind of let the air blow around a little bit, and then shut it, and it'll tell me how long it was open for. If it stays open, it gives me an alert, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
So Brad, okay,
so you have a smart garage door, but you don't have a smart thermostat in that house. You could have just got a Nest thermostat while you're there. Then you wouldn't have to drive all the way out there. I think the real motivation is you're like, you know, Charlotte, why don't you just stay home with the dogs and my mom, and I'll just go to Arizona for a few days to check on things.
Hey, Colin, don't let the cat out of the bag, Matt.
No, and Brad, also, if you get a Nest or any kind of smart home thermostat system, you can get outlet plugs, and even the ones that you just plug into the wall, you can get them on Amazon cheap. And you just log into those and you can turn on whatever device is attached to them. So you could technically have a fan. You could put it on a timing system. I just did that with our front lawn, not front lawn, but at the front of our house is I got a smart a water thing, which I can turn on from anywhere and Bluetooth right to it from the house as long as there's power. And I can turn on the sprinklers for the garden. And if we're out of town or change a schedule, it's so cool. All that stuff is around. I could put my C-Tech chargers on a timer system at the shop because I bought a bunch of those little plugs that you just plug into outlets, something like that. I've got spotlights inside the shop. So if someone did break in, I can turn those on and I have them plugged in weird places. So they have to move stuff to find the plug to unplug them, which they can do, but at least I can get their faces on camera because I can light up the whole shop. There's so many cool gadgets and gizmos now that are Bluetooth and stuff, you know?
And like you said, Matt and Aaron, it's like, a Nest thermostat, super easy. But I didn't even think about it until I was sitting at home. The news came on and said, it's going to be 115. I went, I got to go to Arizona and turn on the air, you know?
But that's okay. You're there now. And, you know, you should probably think about an air conditioning duct run into the garage. If it's not too pricey to do, because you can keep that garage at least a few degrees less.
Yeah. I could do that. I don't know that that's another project.
all Brad's hearing is ching, 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 ching.
Yeah. Well, here's the good news is
sell more stuff.
Next week you buy a bunch of Brad's shit on Instagram.
Because next Wednesday, July the 20th at 5:30 Pacific time. Now, for you East Coast guys, we're 3 hours behind you. That's why we changed the time, because everybody forgets the time difference. California, 5:30 Pacific is 8:30 Eastern and 7:30 Central. So log in, just go to my Facebook page, Bradley_Fanshawe. Hit the live button at the top. We're going to have an auction and I'm going to make it super easy. I want this to be fun. This is not as much about me making a bunch of money as it is just having fun and getting rid of a bunch of stuff, taking room. We tried doing it on the show here, but here's what I found out that you guys know is that it was costing me too much because I had to pay the postage on everything. So we're going to start a whole bunch of the stuff at $5. This isn't like, you know, now there's going to be some rare stuff. There's going to be some cool stuff. The first one, don't expect me to throw everything at it. I want to see how it goes, but I'm going to try and tell stories behind everything. Like I am going to have one of those billet machined aluminum boxes in the very first box. That'll probably start around $20 because I have sold those for $200 to $300 because they cost me a bunch to make. But I'll tell the story of how those were done and why we did them. And some of the, you know, authentic posters, books. I've got some really rare Hot Wheels and diecast that'll go out. Not everything in the first one, but I already have set aside at least 25 items for the first auction. So get in right at the beginning so you don't miss anything. And it's Wins Brad Stuff, but it's Bradley_Fanshawe on Instagram. Go there right now. You can see all the times, all the details. And next week on Sunday and Monday, I'm going to be, by the time this comes up, it'll already be up. Go to my site. You will see all the instructions. Every item, you'll have a bid and a shipping cost, but super easy. It'll be fun. There'll be a lot of people on there bashing me and saying, why'd you even save that? And I'm sure.
And it'll just be Aaron and I doing that.
but we'll come up with some aliases. That'll be quite obvious.
My fear is that only Matt and Aaron will be there. So
we're going to be the only ones heckling. We're going to be heckling the auction. Could you imagine if there was hecklers at like RM auction and the British guy getting really irritated up there at them
saying, hey, we'll be multiple languages like RM, you know, I mean, yeah. If I could pull that off, that'd be good. So,
and Brad, we'll be taking limited trades for air conditioning repair work and and a Nest system plus installation.
No, it's gonna be fun. We did a logo for it. We did. I just want to be fun. I've created a place in my warehouse, and everything will be on display behind me. And like I said, it's not just an auction. It's fun. We're gonna tell some stories and. Yeah, come on, you know, get on there and do an Instagram live. I can't even say it. I can't even say it. How am I going to do it? So, up, Matt. And I drove a 2022 Nissan Pathfinder over here. Now, you've driven that, haven't you, Matt?
Yeah, I did.
I like it so far. So when I get back next week, we can talk about that.
The seats were a little flat for me. They started to irritate my butt.
I had to take my wallet out. It's funny you mentioned that because it was hurting my butt after a couple hours in the car.
Yeah. Aside from that, I thought it was a great vehicle, a lot of bang for the buck. But we can get into the road trip. Well, let's get into the road trip once you make it home. We know you actually make it home.
Next week, and then we can compare notes.
I want to talk about Aaron's trip, though. You went to overlanding expo, not an overlanding trip. You went to like a trade show. Yeah,
right, correct. So the Overland Expo organization, that they have expos all over the country, or you know, certain places across the country, and this was the first one they had in Bend, Oregon. So you know, it's seven and a half hours away from us. So my wife and I were like, you know what, let's just go. So on Friday night or Friday day, we packed up and headed out by noon, got there, stayed at a really cool hotel called the Campfire Inn, which was, a really cool kind of nostalgic place. It was really fun. And Saturday we went there and I had a bunch of the last trip I went on to Moab, half of those folks were there. So we shacked up with them at the expo. Tickets were affordable, can get them online. And it was awesome. It was huge. I mean, it was big, and everybody was packed to the hilt. You could buy stuff there. I got a couple things, but I ordered some stuff. But I think my favorite part of it was meeting all the people that have, you know, helped us with builds and sponsored stuff and products that we've had. It was really neat to see because you kind of think that a lot of these retailers and manufacturers are big companies because, you know, at SEMA, we're kind of used to working with bigger companies that have been around a while. And the overlanding scene is, it's not new, but it's been popularized recently. So there's a lot of new companies, but Hitchfire is a new company. I met the marketing guy there firsthand, and I got it the other day, by the way. It's an awesome product, the Hitchfire, but tire table rack. He's just a guy. He's just an older gentleman. His wife does the books. His daughter runs social media, tire table. And it's one of my favorite products I use just religiously, even when I'm at the shop and I just need extra space outside. Yeah. It's a rack system that kind of, you undo some thumb screws and it stretches out. You put it behind your wheel and then you tighten it up and then two legs come down to sit against the wheel. So it kind of compresses against the wheel, and it's a whole screen table. It's in steel, but he has them in aluminum and then coming out with stainless. And then one leg comes down to support the other side. And I use it for everything. It's the first piece of kit I pull out when I'm undoing and getting ready for camp. Literally, I love this thing. And it's just a guy. It's just one guy and his wife and daughter helping. And so I just want to go up and give him some love. He ended up being a fan. And pardon?
Henry Ford was just a guy at one time also.
Yeah. but my point being is it's not some big company that's been sold or something like that. But it was really cool. And then Hitchfire was actually started by the gentleman who started Tapui tents and awnings and stuff. When he sold that company, he started this company. So, you know, again, it's just a ground level startup company. But there was a lot of those. So meeting those people, Giant Loop is another product that I've been using for a decade or more on my adventure bikes. And I met the guy. He's just a guy, you know, working out of his trailer at the Overland Expo and was a fan. So we started talking and I was so excited because he's showing me some new design stuff that he designed. But a lot of companies are like that. So I think that was my favorite part of the expo, was just meeting these cool folks one-on-one. Yeah.
Aaron, from your photos, it was obviously outside. It wasn't like in a convention center, which makes sense for Overland, right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the fairgrounds. I forget the name of the town. It starts with an S.
It was in a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah. It was in a Walmart parking lot. So,
but a Walmart super center, to be fair, it was a big Walmart.
Discount on coolers. Yeah. It was the Deschutes County Fairgrounds and Expo Center. And it was a very nice fairgrounds, really nice, but it was spread out all over.
Did you drive your Jeep up?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we drove the Jeep, got some updated ideas, but really the AluCab and AluCab folks were there and started, me following each other on social media and having conversations. It's really a great place to connect with those manufacturers and their representatives and build relationships for people like us that can actually, work together. I built a lot of new relationships over there, but, So most of the products that we've decided on, we got to see in person and up close and kind of scrutinize them. And I'm really happy with the decisions. And I don't think there was anything that I was going to add, to our builds for the Defender or the Jeep.
When you take your Jeep on a road trip and you know you're not going to be camping, do you leave everything on there or do you take a bunch of stuff off the vehicle that, strip 500 pounds off of it?
It's a good point. So I emptied the water tanks, but left the fuel because there's some big stretches and you never know. I almost packed it, if anything, because I thought there's so many cool places just to, hey, let's stay an extra day and camp at Crater Lake. Something, but we didn't. But yeah, I stripped most everything out of it that we didn't need. I did take a cooler and put it inside. We did take our dog, but I left everything on just because we decided to do it last minute, and it's already out. So I didn't take the racks off that I normally take off, and I didn't take anything off. But I gotta say, you could see that Jeep a mile away in the parking lot.
But gas is $7 a gallon, so I was just wondering, like. Do you cut a little bit of weight, because you're not going to be going off-road?
Gladiator with 35s, we did cut a lot of the weight is the gear. It is taking the fuel, the extra fuel and the camping stuff. The rooftop 10 is really light. The rack on it is really light. I probably could have taken the air tank and the fire extinguisher off. Those are probably the two heaviest things. But really... Yeah. I don't know. It gets 15 point something miles per gallon at best. So I don't know how much difference that would make.
it'd be funny if like these days now, because you're doing the road trip, that you swap on like a really skinny, like 35 inch diameter tire, but like a 175 series on there. So it's just like, you're barely touching the asphalt.
For the fuel economy. I think on the Gladiator, the way it's configured, you'd have to do a lot to gain even a mile and a half per gallon. It's not worth it to me.
Downhill is the only way to do it. Just go downhill.
Yeah. And it's through the mountain passes. So,
it is working because you said $7 a gallon. I pulled into the gas station last night here in Arizona, and it was $4.99 a gallon. I went, oh, my gosh, what a bargain. Oh, yeah.
I know. We're having to modify our perspective. No, fuel was in the fives. It was in the high fives there. It wasn't bad, even the major brands, unless there was just some remote gas station out in the middle of nowhere, which there was a couple of those, but generally the fuel prices
dollar range, or when you pay your bill, the guy gives you a high five because you gave him so much.
Well, in Oregon, they pump your gas. So I forgot about that. And I went to get out and the guy's like, whoa, 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 California, huh? And then I tipped him. And then my buddy's like, do you don't tip unless he washes your window? I'm like, my window was filthy. He didn't even offer. And I tipped him, damn it. Sucker.
All right. So speaking of trucks, I wanted to touch on this is basically as we're recording this show, there's information coming out on the Ford F-150 Raptor R, which I just seem to have lost my notes.
While you find it, I will ask Aaron something. Driving over here last night, Aaron, I learned something that blew my mind. It was one of those moments. And okay, do you know what NEWS is an acronym for?
No.
I never even thought of it, right?
NEWS, yeah, NEWS is an acronym?
I wonder where NEWS came from. It's just always been there. And the guy that I was listening to goes, well, and then of course, you know, NEWS when it was created is North, East, West, and South, because their information was covering the globe. That's how.
Wow.
And I went, it's one of those things that makes your brain kind of like and go, wait a minute, I never even thought of that, man. And yeah. So somebody actually created that at one time. What other things are out there that I never knew? And
a lot of it. That's why I listen to the Stuff You Should Know podcast.
Right. Yeah.
So it blew me away. You know what? While Matt's looking for that,
I got it. I got the stuff.
Okay, Matt's got it.
I wanted to show you guys this. You're gonna see it. We're zooming, but I'm gonna post this.
Birthday isn't there.
Wow. I'm gonna post this up on my social media. I'll do kind of an unboxing, but this in front of me is a press kit from our friends at Bring a Trailer. And the press kit is sort of celebrating the massive popularity of 90s cars on Bring a Trailer. We've talked about it, the Mustang Cobras, the Fox Bodies, the GNXs, and we're seeing, you know, the Integra Type R went for $88,000.
Yeah, there's a right-hand drive Mustang on there right now. Did you see that?
Yes. These guys sent me this coolest, like 90s style, kit. And this is awesome. There's some press release material. They sent actual slides of cars because it's not very 90s style.
Nice.
And they sent, which looks like a cassette tape, and the cassette tape is a flash drive.
I was going to say,
oh, that's awesome.
Right? So it's an actual cassette tape. And then this is cool, is they reached out to Oakley, who's in California, and they said, any chance we can get your old school retro frog skin sunglasses? And they said, it would be very expensive, but we'll custom make them for you. So they sent over Oakley frog skins. I got the purple ones.
Oh my god, that's awesome. That's so cool.
Actual branded right from Oakley in the carbon fiber case,
and they look good on you, Matt.
Even the cleaning pad, the cleaning cloth is total, it looks like straight out of Radwood, you know.
Wow.
Just the coolest little press kit from that. And then of course in there has a lot of the infographics and information about the 90s cars and what's trending. And so we'll get into all of that stuff at a later date, but just the coolest, what a cool idea. This was put together by our Bring a Trailer and our friends at Con Media that
trailer press kit.
Our one-off Boyd built Mitsubishi Diamantes trending, Matt?
Is it trending?
I said, are they?
Trending.
I need to sell mine.
So. Yeah, you should sell yours. Anyway, so the news that we got in from Ford is the actual press release for the Raptor R, something we've been waiting for some time now. As expected, it does have the 5.2 liter supercharged V8 out of the GT500. Now, it's not going to be 760. So in the car, it's 760 horsepower, and I want to say 625 pound feet of torque. In the truck, the horsepower is down a little bit to 700, but the torque is up to 640. They changed the exhaust a little bit. It's got more of a cast exhaust manifold as opposed to the tubular header, just for strength and durability. They changed the pulley configuration on it on the supercharger, and obviously retuned it for a little bit more low end grunt. But this thing is just going to be absolutely sick with this kind of power, 700 horsepower, 640 pound feet of torque. The suspension, of course, is what you'd expect. It has advanced Fox live valve shocks. They're tuned for on-road and off-road capability. They're electronically controlled dampers. They use the suspension height sensors and other sensors for monitor terrain. To monitor terrain conditions. The wheel travel is 13 inches in the front, 14.1 in the back. I believe it's got 37s on it, or at least an optional 37. It's got the Recaro seats, the latest interior, CarPlay.
The interior is gorgeous on this thing. Yeah, carbon fiber trimming, Alcantara. I mean, it's really in the paddle shifts are all billet, really nicely done.
It's got the 10-speed select shift transmission. Just the coolest stuff. So, look forward to that. Once we get more information, we'll post the photos and stuff on all of that. But I wanted to share that news. It's finally out there. And as you're listening to the show, you are able to make orders. I believe dealers are taking orders immediately on this now. So the press release sort of coincides with order books being open. If I believe I got that correctly, ordering opens. Yeah, ordering opens pretty much today as you're listening to this. And production starts in the fall. Not sure what's going to happen with pricing and dealer markups and or whatever. But, you know, I assume there's been a lot of people on the list that their dealer sort of unofficially for quite some time. But, listen. If you're going to go out, you go out with a bang. You know, I love what Dodge is doing with the TRX and poking fun at the Raptor by calling it a T-Rex. And under the hood, it's got the T-Rex eating the Raptor. And then, of course, one of the things we love about the car companies going out in the bang, I don't know if you've heard this as well, but the Dodge Challenger, you know, a little long in the tooth. It's been out for a while, so they just keep throwing horsepower at it to make it a fun vehicle. But the this rendering kind of came out of what potentially what like a Dodge Challenger EV could look like, and it looks like something straight out of Fast 9. It's just over the top. But Dodge is teased at the beginning of the year this like the days of horsepower or whatever they were the campaign they were calling it. They did the donut maker campaign with Goldberg. We're expecting to see some announcements at SEMA possibly on the crate engine side of things. Dodge has said, you know what, before we close the books on the all gas engine Challenger, they're teasing a version that's going to come out that is E85 capable from the factory. And on E85 with their Hellcat engine, you're looking somewhere around 880, almost 900 horsepower.
Jeez.
So you'll be able to, I don't know, maybe use the red key in E85, that 100 octane. They're basically selling you a car off the showroom floor that's tuned for 100 octane, you know, via the E85 just to get more horsepower, just to brag about the horsepower before they end that car completely, right? It's fun. It's smart, right? Like, why not sell a bunch more while we can, you know, and well, get all the press? And,
I mean, all of this is just so awesome because, like, whoever thought that you'd be able to go into the dealership and get a truck with that kind of horsepower, let alone even just 37 inch tall tires. Yeah. That was exotic. Remember when 33s were exotic, you know, it was like,
Well, and like the Jeep, the Gladiator, you can get with 35s from factory, but 37s from factory. Now, how much is the R going to retail for? Do we have any pricing?
Yeah, it wasn't in here. I don't know what the pricing is going to be on it yet. So, I mean, everyone was saying it's going to be $100,000, but.
Oh, easy. I think the regular ones are, aren't they?
I mean, sticker price.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And they'll charge $30,000 over.
I mean, look, we're not sure. Like we're actually, the rumor is the Raptor is, and the Raptor R are not going to be that huge of a difference. Like the Raptor is like 64,000 and change, and the Raptor R is about 70,000 base price. I think Ford was actually trying to get it just under 70, like 69,905 was what they were trying to go for. But
it says $70,000. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's probably a few options and stuff. Maybe the 37s are an option. I don't quite remember, but
I might have to get rid of the Gladiator.
Like the press cars, they're always fully loaded. And you look at the sticker and you go, oh, wow. You know, it's got everything. You know, go start buying one, it's a different thing, but it's all what the pocketbook can afford.
It is a different thing. Now, keep in mind, the Raptor R has been teased for some time now. So, and the Raptor has been very successful for years. So the dealers already have probably everything sold. Every allocation they're going to get is probably sold. Yeah. They have their list of clients that have been good customers, purchased many cars, and they kind of want to be at the top of the list. And if they don't take it, the next guy on the list is going to take it. And then the potential dealer markups on this thing for those that will be charged a dealer markup, I think it's going to run rampant. I think you're going to see anywhere between $20,000 and $50,000 markups on this thing. Easy. I mean, I possibly even more. They're going to double the price. I mean, you're going to walk in and you're going to see $150,000 price tag on this truck.
Easy.
My advice is don't pay it. Don't pay it.
Yeah.
If you don't pay it and nobody pays it, then the price will come down. The whole thing is nobody can pay it. Don't be the one douche that pays it and ruins it for everybody.
No, there's always one douche who wants to be the first one to have it, man. Yeah, look at me, guy, you know? So,
yeah, totally. Now are they going to have that thing imposed where you can't sell it for a year or something? Is Ford going to do that with this, you think?
So I haven't heard about that. I haven't heard if they're trying to do anything like they're doing with the F-150 Lightning and what maybe GM is trying to do with the Z06, which those are actually very different. The Z06 is somewhat limited production. The Lightning is they want to make as many as they can make. It's just about availability. The Raptor R, I don't know, you know, are they going to make 5,000 of these things or do they want to make, 12,000 of these things? I don't really know. So
I would think so.
You know, my thought has always been if it's a limited production vehicle, pricing and markups are more of a reality. But if it's not a limited production vehicle, and I hate to pick on Kia, but we mentioned the Telluride a million times because they're still asking 10,000 over sticker on that thing. And I don't know why, because Kia just wants to make as many as they can make.
And people are buying them. God, there's tons of them.
Yeah, I just. And it's a good vehicle. I see why. But anyway, I apologize. We're kind of running out of time. We've got just a few minutes left on this. But quick, I just wanted, because our timer's running out on this thing. But we've got 2 minutes left, and I just wanted to quickly touch on the crazy machines you have in your garage there, Aaron, because you've been posting on social media a giant mechanical fish
in my arsenal now. So the Sea Creature is a semi-submersible watercraft. They've been around about 15 or plus years, and I've been obsessing over them ever since they first broke 15 and plus years ago. And it's very surreal to think that I have two of them in my shop. Now, I don't own them. They're not mine. But I do get liberties. I do get to play with them. I'm going to repaint one of them because it's a little dated and old. It's an older boat, and we're probably going to upgrade the powertrain to the 300 plus horsepower version. But the other one just arrived last week, and it's a kind of a jet fighter version. It's the high horsepower, high performance X model, I think it is. I have a Z model, which is the Porpoise. But look it up, seabreacher.com. Super cool. It's all over my social media. And next week, we're going to try to get one in the water. Now, training, I've been going through the training video, is pretty complicated. It's pretty complicated because there's a lot of controls on the feet and the hands. And
it's like a helicopter. It's like flying a helicopter.
Yeah, it's like flying an aircraft, but it's kind of opposite. So the arms are the back fins, and the feet are the front fins and the jet controller. So you have the kind of sweeping motion, and then you have the forward and back.
It's nuts. Get a thrust where it's going and the fins where they're, yeah, there's a lot of coordination there.
Yeah. Plus, to get it on plane is one set of controls, but once you get underwater, it's completely different. So it's going to be interesting.
Wow.
But I'm really excited.
Looking forward to that. Hopefully you can grab some video or something that slaps GoPros in around it. But
absolutely. Anyway,
we're going to go ahead and end this now. We appreciate you guys listening. Of course, Shift and Steer is the website, and we appreciate the, excuse me.
Get about it. Go to Bradley_Fanshaw.
Get Brad's stuff.
And we'll catch you win Brad's stuff. Well, you can buy Brad's stuff.
Yeah.
You got to have the winning bid.
This show also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.